Listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You voted to fire this corrupt and decrepit political establishment, and you elected an outsider as president who is finally putting America first.
October the 19th, 2020, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Decision Day. That was President Trump at a rally in Nevada. Massive crowd. And when Trump went to California for a fundraiser Sunday, thousands of supporters lined the route in California. Biden, in Pennsylvania, no crowds. Why? You gotta love it. You gotta love this. Why were there no crowds showing up along the line, the route motorcade for Biden? Well, the Biden people are saying, we told our supporters to stay home and stay safe. They didn't even put up signs that the signs might get COVID. Do you see what's going on? And there were rallies all across the nation, on lakes and on highways, motorcades flying Trump and U.S. flags, and on waterways doing the same thing. Now, granted, those are shows of public support and displays. Do they translate into a massive vote come Election Day, 2 weeks from tomorrow? I cannot stress to you enough, if you have not voted, you make sure you do vote and make sure your friends and neighbors and family vote. So the fallout and reacts also continues from the New York Post article the other day. Printing what it says were Hunter Biden emails direct from his computer, and more stories are coming out on that, detailing of exactly how it happened and validating, basically, it was his computer. Now, do I have inside information? No. But everything I'm seeing says, yeah, it was his computer and his emails. And, of course, part of the reaction involves Twitter and Facebook shutting down the New York Post platform. In other words, trying to censor, control the story. And again, I mentioned to you the other day, when the New York Post story first began to break, and I'm reading some of those emails to you, and while I'm reading, I said, here's some evidence right here that the left is very frightened about these, because Twitter and Facebook are putting out statements that they are not going to continue allowing this to go out on their social media platform, that they were going to try to claim that it was not verified, so we're not going to let it happen. They never do that about leftist stories and labels that are false, like Trump is a racist, Trump is a fascist. They let that go all the time. There's no verification of those either. But now hear this. Mainstream media trying to spin it again. They're saying U.S. senators think Facebook and Twitter need to be censored. Well, senators who think they need to be controlled. And if that involves some censorship, you'll have to look at it. But now the mainstream media is trying to say, no, the conservatives are the one who have control of Facebook and Twitter. Right, right. All the money and all the leadership of the social media giants are Democrat, and they put their money into that. And more emails are being published by Breitbart, a former Hunter Biden business partner now in jail, has been thinking, they threw me under the bus. He is now giving reporters access to his personal email account. 20,000 plus emails, and they talk about how the Biden family business enterprise works. It is a clear pay-for-play action. We'll detail that for you. And we also have a guest today, Washington Times correspondent, has out a new book titled Socialists Don't Sleep, Christians Must Rise, or America Will Fall. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I really encourage you to make sure your family and friends know we're on the air. We are 2 weeks tomorrow, 2 weeks tomorrow from Election Day. Many across the nation have already voted. More need to. Don't miss the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden is and always has been a corrupt politician. He always has been. And as far as I'm concerned, the Biden family is a criminal enterprise.
That is President Trump the other day in Nevada, Carson City, Nevada, saying that Joe Biden, as far as he's concerned, is a criminal enterprise, and everyone around him. We're going to get into that in more detail. But let me focus just for a moment on the crowd and the reaction that Trump is getting everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes, thousands upon thousands gather to see and hear him. And these motorcades I was telling you about that were happening all across the nation this last weekend, there's a report that one of them, maybe this one in Indiana, I've seen so many, I'm not sure which one, that stretched reportedly 30 miles. Now, that's true. That's pretty massive. If it's even 3 miles, that's massive. When they're traveling on the highway and basically pick 'em up trucks and SUVs and other vehicles all flagging U.S. flags and Trump support. And then when it came to going into California, Biden was there for a meeting, a private gathering, I should say, a fundraiser. And the tickets for the event were steep, $2,800 per individual, minimum, up to $150,000 per couple. The Beach Boys were going to be performing. In fact, they did. This was in Newport Beach. Now, Newport is considered a conservative-leaning pocket in all of that blue state of California. Back in 2019, the numbers being reported by the L.A. Times coming out of Newport Beach is that 57 out of its 57,000 voters, 48% Republicans, 22.7% Democrat. Well, of course, that is obviously a red stronghold in the midst of that blue state. But Trump was going to this fundraiser, and again, thousands were lining the route. In fact, Kayla McEnany, the White House press secretary, took to Twitter showing the number of Trump supporters who came out to view the presidential motorcade. And from the picture she showed, you did see hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands. I didn't watch it all the way through. I'm glad to see this kind of enthusiasm. Biden has enthusiasm, right? No. Does he have, supporters have enthusiasm? No. Nope. You know where Biden is right now? 15 days until Election Day. And Joe Biden's campaign has called off campaigning and answering press questions. He's busy preparing for Thursday night's final presidential debate in Nashville. Trump, recently recovered from COVID, is all over the country addressing thousands. I think he has more than 100 scheduled appearances over the last few weeks, and I don't know how many more yet to go. And the Biden campaign calling a lid until Thursday. In other words, we won't be meeting or talking to any reporters. The last time they did, over the weekend, he got approached by a CBS reporter who actually had the audacity, I don't know if it's actual CBS network or an affiliate reporter, asking about the Hunter Biden tapes. He said, well, that's right down your alley. In other words, suggesting it's just another scheme. There's nothing to it. What they're trying to do is just make it go away. And Kamala Harris was not out on the campaign trail throughout the weekend. Supposedly, a member of her staff came down with COVID, and they thought, in an abundance of caution, she will not go out on the campaign trail either. I told you the other day, I don't think she wants to go out because she doesn't want to be hit by these Hunter Biden email questions either. She said, not mine. I'm washing my hands of that. I have nothing to do with that. In the next hour, by the way, we're going to get into the fact that how this was also an issue when Obama picked Biden to be a VP. Obama knew. He knew there were some really big questions around Joe. We'll get into that in the next hour. But right now, Joe Biden is just staying in the basement. The campaign dark. How do you do that? How do you do that with 15 days till Election Day? And he's not going to be seen again until the debate in Nashville Thursday night. Well, he's got some surrogates out there that are probably trying to do it. But speaking of that, why doesn't he have Hunter Biden out on the campaign trail pushing and promoting him, huh? Why not have your son? Now, Dr. Jill Biden has been out there some, but I don't think she's scheduled to do anything. You and I both know what's going on. They are absolutely quaking over these Biden emails as they were presented by the New York Post. Now, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat, said, and you got to almost fall on the floor laughing all day long when he says these emails are just Russian propaganda. Blame the Russian for everything. I'm telling you, they've got that mantra down. They used it against Trump. Now they're using it on anything. Russians are involved again. It's the Russians. Well, the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, was speaking on Mornings with Maria Bartiromo. And the question that she raised, the issue being, what about these emails? I mean, we are hearing that they might just all be Russian propaganda from Congressman Adam Schiff. Listen, please, to the words of the Director of Intelligence, John Ratcliffe.
Some of the people that complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing intelligence. And unfortunately, in this case, it is Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who, as you pointed out on Friday, said that the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails on it are part of some Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear. The intelligence community doesn't believe that because there's no intelligence that supports that. And we have shared no intelligence with Chairman Schiff or any other member of Congress that Hunter Biden's laptop is part of some Russian disinformation campaign. It's simply not true.
Simply not true. But that does not keep them from saying that it is, right? the same thing we saw from Adam Schiff when they were carrying out their inquiries into the impeachment efforts against Trump. And they kept having all of these guys come forward, including Brennan, Comey, so forth, all of them rushing in, saying that, well, we can't really tell you what we said to the inquiry, but the shoe's going to drop. I mean, it's going to get really heavy, going to get really hot on Trump. And you were led to believe, man, whatever they told them in private session, this is damning for Trump. And then when the evidence is released, when the transcripts of those same hearings are released, they're in there saying, don't have any evidence, don't know of anything. But they peddled that story every day to the mainstream media, and they were featured guests on CNN, MSNBC, and all the others. Because if they would say anything that indicated that perhaps Trump was involved in a quid pro quo or any impeachable type thing, yeah, they were giving evidence. And Russian collusion, too. Yeah, that too. But the bottom line is, there was no such evidence. They ended up having to admit it. Also, another point from the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. He said these investigation by U.S. Attorney John Durham into the probe of the origins of the Trump-Russian investigation, he said, based on the intelligence I have access to, I think there will be more indictments. In fact, his exact statement is, based on the intelligence I have access to, I certainly believe that there should be. Ratcliffe earlier this month said he already has provided 1,000 pages of material to the Justice Department to support the Durham investigation. 1,000 pages. He added, as the president has made clear, we must be transparent with the American people and give them confidence that the extraordinary work of intelligence professionals is never misused or politicized. And yet, we have evidence here they have. But you see the investigation so far about the Mueller investigation, the documents coming out. In May 2019, Trump, after the completion of Mueller's investigation, gave AG Barr the authority to begin a declassification process of documents related to all the surveillance on the Trump campaign in 2016. A number of documents have been declassified. But the president has also, earlier this month, fully authorized total declassification of any and all documents related to the Russian investigation. So far, they're not. And I still don't know why, unless I talked to Fred Flights, who had former member of the State Intel, I should say the House Intel Committee, serving as a staff member, decades with the CIA and other intel agencies. Now president of the Center for Security Policy says, I think what's going on is that you still have members of the swamp holding these documents back and holding them out of sight. Well, I think we need them opened up fully. The president's already ordered it. I still don't know how they can get around not doing what he ordered. It could still happen between now and the next 2 weeks before we get to the election. But right now, the Hunter Biden email issue, that's becoming very big. And when you had Twitter and Facebook immediately trying to shut down the story, not letting it spread, it tells you how big the possible story is. The other day, the 17th of October, 2 days ago, Saturday, the New York Post Twitter account was still locked. And the Post Twitter feed was unable to post a story since Wednesday. That was when they began to put out the first stories linking the Hunter Biden emails and what was happening. We now, of course, have Missouri Senator Hawley, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Lindsey Graham, all saying we want to talk to the head of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, and the head of Facebook, who's overseeing all of this. We want them in front of us, and they've issued subpoenas for the same. And that could happen later this week, scheduled to. It could happen on the very day of that next presidential debate, which would give us even more firepower for that debate. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Come that debate that night, the moderator is already in bed with the Democrats. We know that. She and her family have been Democrat supporters. They've given money to Democrats, and yet she's supposedly a unbiased moderator for the next debate, as was Savannah Guthrie. She will have to ask the question and deal with the Hunter Biden emails, and Joe Biden needs to answer some questions. And I'll tell you this, if she doesn't do it, I will guarantee you that Donald Trump will raise the question. Good. We will have more on this in the second hour. But when we come back, you're going to hear from Joe Scarborough, just absolutely upset. He said, really, all the conservatives actually control Facebook and Twitter. Really? What is he smoking?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Guitar in my hand. By the time I could talk, I had my own band. I went on the road when I was 8 years old. When I turned 15, I was stealing the show. Money to burn and the girls are pretty. It didn't take me long to learn that I was born to boogie.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Democrats and liberals in the media are so, so stupid.
Why?
Because somebody will say, oh, Facebook is unfair to conservatives. Oh, what do we do? What do we can't have them calling us bad. Yes, you can. Like, that's what conservatives think. They can lie through their teeth. These right wingers think at Wall Street Journal editorial page, think they can lie through their teeth and talk about Facebook having problems and Twitter having problems with a story.
Mm-hmm.
That even the New York Post knew was a lie. They knew it was such a lie.
Those are the words of MSNBC Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough. The New York Post knew the Hunter Biden story is such a lie. That really doesn't hold water, does it? Don't you imagine the very first thing you would see is a Biden camp immediately attacking, threatening lawsuits and everything. They have done nothing. They have done nothing. Here's as close as they've come. A Biden campaign surrogate said on Fox News Channel over the weekend, no one from the campaign has addressed the authenticity of the emails, allegedly from Hunter Biden linking his father to Ukraine business deals. Nobody in the campaign has addressed the authenticity. Don't you think that's something they would do immediately? In other words, this surrogate admits, I don't think anybody is saying they are inauthentic or not. But here's Joe Scarborough carrying the water for them. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. We know it's a lie. Well, we don't know it's a lie, and we're not seeing them call it a lie. But Joe Scarborough also turned his attention to Missouri Senator Josh Hawley as he talked about we need to get control of Facebook and Twitter. Here we go.
Republicans like Josh Hawley, I mean, he's serious. I don't know him at all, so this isn't personal, but he's either the stupidest person ever to walk in the halls of Congress or the most disingenuous. He's going, we have a problem with it. We need to censor Facebook. But Josh, you want to censor a company that's like private? Really? Didn't you go to Harvard Law School or something? Like, seriously, did they teach you that you can, like, ban private businesses? No. Where I went to, we didn't learn that in law school.
Again, that's Joe Scarborough having some fun with Josh Hawley. Well, Hawley and Cruz and Graham and others are not laughing. They say we want the heads of Twitter and Facebook and others in here to answer questions. They say what they've been doing, and they're shutting down, closing the platform for spreading the information from the New York Post. that they have disregard for the spirit of the First Amendment. And they say in a letter to them, this is the latest in a troubling pattern of actions taken by Twitter to target conservative viewpoints on its platform. So what do we see now? Well, we see some on the left, Joe Scarborough carrying that banner. Hey, it's not us that's putting everything out there that's damning and wrong. It's the conservatives. They're the conspirators, and they need to be shut down. Well, Twitter and Facebook have certainly been helping close out conservative viewpoints. They'll always get the liberal viewpoint on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Cheryl Chumley, investigative reporter, has out a new book, Socialists Don't Sleep, Christians Must Rise or America Will Fall. You don't want to miss this interview.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar. Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest has extensive credits and appearances on The Blaze and writing for The Washington Times, Washington Examiner, Heritage Foundation, appearing on Fox News, C-SPAN. In fact, you might have the second book she put out, The Devil in D.C., Winning Back the Country from the Beast in Washington. She has out a new book, Socialists Don't Sleep, Christians Must Rise or America Will Fall. Glad to welcome Cheryl Chumley aboard. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I took a look at what you've got in this book, and this is right down the path I think we need to start focusing. Because I know many, and I'm not just talking about in my church, but churches around the nation, and those who don't even have an organized church, but believe in God and have been praying, save our country. We cannot go the direction the left is trying to take us. Your view?
Absolutely not. And it's been my contention for some time now that Christians have stayed too quiet on the political front. And that's a big reason why we're seeing this moral decay in America right now, which, of course, has bled into our political world. And it's up to us Christians. It's up to us to get louder and bolder. Otherwise, this country is going to turn a corner, not just into socialism, but into outright Marxism, collectivism. And from that, we'll never return.
And that's damaging to all religions, not just Christian religions.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. I used to be an atheist, okay? So I get the other side. And this is not to say that only Christians are the only ones with the only solution in the world. But it is to say that Christians have fallen a little bit in recent times. So given the fact that this country was based upon Judeo-Christian principles, it has to be the Christians who come forward and speak louder.
I'm going to have to stop for a moment and get into something you just said and ask you to give us a little enlightenment. Did you used to be an atheist? At what point did you change and why?
It was 2008 that I became a born-again Christian, and that was due in large part to just my husband, who had years ago was my fiance, and he started telling me about God because he was raised with God. I was raised in a household that thought church was a nice place to go to meet nice people, but the Bible was largely a collection of fairy tales.
And you're married at this time already to him. Is that right? You're still an atheist while you're married to him?
Yes. Okay. Yes. There were difficult times and so forth, but it was through that and out of some difficult periods in my life where I finally got to the point where I only had God to turn to for answer. And so broken, I turned toward him and he was right there for me waiting.
Good. Personal testimonies are always something I'm always interested in. And now, back to the issue of the book. And you talk about, at one point, that socialists have been sneaking policies into the U.S. for decades. I remember decades ago telling members of our church, you know, that Christians and other godly people when television was running kind of out of control, well, they just said it was bad and didn't want to deal with it. They walked away from it. When they walked away from it, that allowed the left and the race forward to just whatever we can put on the screen. And then suddenly they wanted to take back control. They'd already let it out of they let the genie out of the bottle. And I see you reading that they've been sneaking these policies in America for decades. We've watched it happen. We just didn't do anything.
We've watched it happen, and we went to church, and we prayed about it in church, and we hunkered down as a group of churchgoers. But did we do anything to battle it on the secular world, which is where we live? And by and large, no. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are right now. We wouldn't have this political system of far leftists who are outright socialists right now. You know, I get that in the Bible, how it says we're to live in this world, but not of this world. I get that in the Bible, how it says that we are supposed to respect the leaders that God ordains because they are chosen by God. But here's the thing. In this country, we're not a kingdom. This isn't biblical times where the king comes in and that's it for life. We are a country of, by, and for the people form of governance, and it requires an active citizenry. The founders based our system of democratic republic on that very fact. And they also knew that without virtuous people, our democratic republic would fall. So we, in Christian beliefs, don't have the luxury of sitting by and going to church and just saying, well, it's not up to me because I'm a Christian, not a politician.
You're listening to Cheryl Chumley, author of a new book out, Socialist Don't Sleep. And part of that influence, we allowed more and more to sneak into our public education, our institutions of, quote, higher learning, and political correctness being weaponized. We basically helped them set the stage to change everything.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we could all cry about that and feel bad and everything, or we could take that as a lesson learned and get back in the ring. And I'm in the second camp, okay? It is what it is. We are where we're at in America right now. But, you know, Jesus is the final hope. He's the hope of all. And it only takes a few people for God to work through them to turn this country around. The Bible itself is filled with stories of that. Look at Gideon, right? I mean, he just had a few, and then God wanted him to have even fewer. So it only takes a few of us who are steadfast and willing to stand up to these secular forces to turn this country back around. And that's what I'm calling on people to do. You know, read this book, see all the sneaky ways socialism has crept into America, and it's not just to the Democrats. I can tell you the Republicans have been complicit in this as well. And then learn to read the signs and fight before the socialism roots deep and spreads.
Well, as you said, socialists don't sleep, they don't quit, they don't abandon the battlefield. And if we're just going to be laissez-faire about it or just say, well, there's only so much we can do, they get to claim bigger ground, higher ground.
Absolutely. It's up to us. It's up to the people who know. It's up to the people with discernment, to put it in spiritual terms, right? To take the fight out there and to be strong about it.
I was going to ask, so how do you see it playing in the current election underway right now, 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Well, I can tell you my view of the political scene right now. You may hate Trump's Twitter feed. You may hate how he talks. But look at what he's done for Israel. Look at what he's done for foreign affairs and where America stands on the foreign platform, on the foreign stage right now. Look at what he's done and is doing on the Supreme Court level. And then consider this. Had we had Hillary Clinton in the last 4 years, where would we be? Well, look at Joe Biden and who's pushing Joe Biden into office, the real leaders behind the Joe Biden face.
Yeah, they're all leftists to that extent, and they have their agenda. Joe Biden is their surrogate for right now until they get in, and then I've already said Pelosi may well use the 25th Amendment to get him out of the way so Kamala can step forward. The other issue, though, that's going on, too, is that with all of this political noise going on and so forth, and the emails, the Hunter Biden emails and everything coming up, do you think folks are just, I've heard from some that they're just tired of politics. I don't want them to get tired until they vote.
Yeah, I think people are tired of politics, you know, because the media's been just, you know, we don't have every four-year elections for the White House in this country ever anymore. We have an election in November, and then the day after the election, we have talk on all the news channels about who's going to be the next candidate, right? And then we spend the next 3 years discussing who's going to be the candidate until the convention comes, and then the candidate is finally picked. We have nonstop elections in this country. That's the way it is. If you don't like it, then turn the media off. But that doesn't, you know, give you the right as a citizen of not just America, but of heaven. That doesn't give you the right to stand by and do nothing. You have to get involved in politics. It's the world in which we live.
And you mentioned a moment ago that folks who don't like Trump don't like his tweet. I've chastised him numerous times, criticized him directly, and saying that he needs to take more blame on some things he tries to say, you know, put blame elsewhere. And I said in the beginning, he was not my first, second, or third choice. And then it still came down to, I'm not electing a pastor. I'm trying to elect someone who can turn this country around and improve situations.
Yeah, you know, the people that don't like Trump because of the way he speaks or the way he's treated women or the fact that he's been divorced are the same people who probably would have sat there in biblical times and shook fingers at Solomon for having so many wives or David for adultery with Bathsheba, right? I mean, you can hate the sin, that's fine, and you can hate the rhetoric, but you still have to look through political veins at who does best for America and not just an America that the socialists dream of, but the America that the founding fathers wanted for us, the one based on Judeo-Christian principles.
Cheryl, I want to thank you very much for your time. And again, folks, the title, Socialists Don't Sleep, Christians Must Rise or America Will Fall. Obviously, it's a book that's very timely for what we're seeing right now and beyond. It's not just for now. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. God bless.
You bet. God bless you. And the book is available everywhere, major outlets and so forth. Again, Socialists Don't Sleep. She has absolutely called out what they're doing. And we have. We are the reason we're in the situation we are now, folks, and you know it, even though you might now say that's all wrong, we've been complicit if we didn't put down our foot, and we've accepted too much. We'll bend a little more. At some point, you got to say, no, we're not changing and moving forward. But right now, too many times, and political correctness being one of the weapons, beating us, saying you've got to redo things or we're going to chastise you and accuse you of something. Okay, I'll back down. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about these emails that are coming not from the Hunter Biden computer, but another one, but a former business partner. You're going to hear the words of Peter Schweitzer as he describes some of these emails. Stand by, please.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
These are not printouts. These are not PDFs. We actually go into the Gmail account, pull the emails out, download them. They are time-stamped. These are real. These are genuine. That's one of the reasons we felt it was so important to pursue this. And, you know, Cooney is taking a risk because he's trusting us with this trove of emails, which includes personal information. So he's taking quite a risk in sharing this information, but he feels like it needs to get out because people need to understand how these deals were done.
That is author, investigative reporter, and editor for Breitbart News, Peter Schweitzer, on a radio interview over the weekend on the Patriot Channel. He's talking about emails coming from Bevin Cooney. Bevin Cooney providing 26,000 emails to him. He's a former business partner of Hunter Biden. He's now in jail, serving a sentence in federal prison due to his conviction over financial deals he made connected to Hunter Biden and his other partner, Devin Archer. Archer's also been convicted by a jury in federal court, but had his conviction vacated by a federal judge, although that was just a couple of weeks ago, reinstated. Cooney, now serving his sentence in federal prison, had said, I'm watching these Hunter emails come out, the Hunter Biden emails from his computer. I'm going to give you access to my emails, and you decide what you want to use or not use. And in the midst of his 26,000 emails are some personal emails, and he's trusting that Schweitzer and the others he turned it over to will not, you know, abuse what they have, but will look at the value they present in what was going on with Hunter Biden and the Biden family enterprise. As President Trump had stated yesterday, he looks at the Joe Biden family enterprise as a criminal enterprise. We're going to get into more details of what these emails say in this coming hour. Now, you don't want to miss that. In the meantime, I don't know if you're aware of it, over the weekend in San Francisco, there was a free speech rally. They were having a rally and a protest Saturday. Free speech, that's all it's about, just free speech. Well, here came Antifa, yelling, shouting, and starting to attack. In fact, they went after the organizer. The organizer is walking a man to safety because he's surrounded by those who are angry about free speech. Because if you don't say what they want, then you can't have free speech. And he's trying to walk him to safety. And the organizer is attacked and hit in the face. Punched from behind, basically. He recoils from the hit, holding his ear and jaw, and then the guy moves in and hits him again, knocking out two front teeth. A woman in the background started yelling, cry about it, just go ahead and cry about it. And they called him the N-word several times. Why? Well, because this is a black man who was an organizer of a free speech rally. I'm not going to say he's a Trump supporter. I would assume he is, but he's basically supporting free speech. He organized the free speech rally, and he's walking a white man to safety through the crowd of Antifa. He thought they won't attack me because I'm black. Well, he was wrong. They did attack him. He later tweeted out, Antifa attacked me for no reason. These people are racist terrorists. Later, he tweeted out a message former Vice President Joe Biden, who said that Antifa is just an idea. He said, I have a question for you, Joe Biden. Do you still think Antifa is just an idea? This is what the idea you're talking about, Antifa? This is what they did to me? Two teeth knocked out, one just hanging by a thread, I should say. No, if you don't say what they want and how they want, I don't care what your color is, they will come after you, they will demolish you, they will destroy you in any way they can. So here we are a couple of weeks for the presidential election, and Joe Biden is in hiding. They're not going to have any more appearances or anything till Thursday. He's got to button down and prepare for the debate. Well, Trump has got to do the same thing, but Trump is all over the nation and has many more dozens of appearances still scheduled over the next 2 weeks. So when you get a chance to ask Joe Biden a question, you think a legitimate reporter, you're going to get to some essentials. Well, here's what happened in Durham, North Carolina, Sunday, yesterday. Biden was with his granddaughter. They stopped at a local place to get some milkshakes. Now, you don't want to go charging into Biden with his granddaughter. Show some respect for the child being there. But you can still ask intelligent questions. But you don't want to waste your time and opportunity to ask a question like this. I'm telling you, this is the question that got asked by Joe Biden as he came out with his milkshake. What flavor did you get? Are you kidding me? What flavor did he get? Oh, he gave a good answer. I think he already had it. Oh, we got vanilla and chocolate, black and white, just in case you don't know. I mean, you talk about pandering. Those were his answers. I don't know if he was drinking the chocolate or vanilla, but, you know, I'm not going to get into that. But you have a chance to ask Joe Biden 2 weeks to go for the election, and you ask him, what kind of milkshake did you get? You think there aren't some idiot reporters out there or those who are in bed with the Democrats? Of course, of course. We got a lot more to come on the second hour. You do not want to miss the second hour. Make sure your family and friends are joining us. Stay with us.
The This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.